Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, I'm Janet Moreno, the Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Just Ask Janet. Well, joining me today is a very, very dear friend of mine. And I'm so sad because of the pandemic. We haven't been together in such a long time. And I'm hoping maybe soon I'll get to go to Rome, where she has been working for decades. And of course, I'm speaking of the famous Joan Lewis from EWTN. She has worked in Rome for decades. She's had the privilege of being there under so many pontificates. It's amazing. I know Joan, last year I was supposed to come and celebrate a great birthday, and that never happened. But welcome to the program. Thank you for getting ready soon to have a cene dinner over in Rome. But of course, spending some time with us, and I know you're about to leave on vacation, so I know you're getting packing your suitcase to come to America, but thank you for taking some time out for our Facebook audience and our streaming audience to join us today. So love to have you. Thanks, Joan.
Janet, if we can't be together in person and exchange a Roman abbraccio, a big hug, and maybe have a sip of a white wine or limoncello, then this is the next best thing. So I'm delighted to be here, and my nickname, by the way, of course, is Rome's Joan. So my blog, is obviously, you know, Joan's Rome. But anyway, yeah, I've been here a lot of decades, covering a lot of things. As a matter of fact, at the end of next month, I will be in Cincinnati for a long weekend event for the Knights and Dames of the Holy Sepulchre, and I will be giving a talk entitled Five Popes and a Journalist. So
that wow.
ought to be a fun event. Exactly. And then, well, the fun thing is too, I love the question and answer part when I give a speech. I mean, you always hope when you give a speech that people will be interested in what you're saying. But beyond that, you know for sure when they ask questions that they want to say, you know, they want to hear your answer to their specific questions. So
while people are watching our streaming show right now, Joan wants to see where you're from. How many different countries do we have watching us right now? Tell us what state you're from in the United States, because Joan is coming to America. I know you have family in Illinois. Let's see, is anyone from Illinois watching? Let's hear from you. I know you also have family right in California.
Illinois, Oregon, Wisconsin, and Florida and Phoenix, Arizona.
Wow. So let's see if any of those states are tuning in right now. Say hi to Joan. And I know you're going to be in the United States now for what? 2 weeks, I think it is?
A couple of weeks with family in California and the Midwest. Because I have 9 nieces and nephews and 26 great nieces and nephews. And two of them I've never seen. So this is very exciting. And the thing is, with COVID and everything else, I have had only 2 weeks of vacation in 20 months. So
wow,
I'm ready.
Ready to go. So Joan, everybody is very curious, of course. You know, so many people had to cancel their trips to Rome, like me, and they want to know, has tourism picked up? Is the Vatican fully open, the Vatican Museum? How are the restaurants doing? Can you give us a little peek into how things are there?
I haven't been too often to downtown Rome, so I can't speak to like the Roman Forum or things like that. I just know that I see a lot of visitors around the Vatican. St. Peter's is open, the museums are open, and I mean, all the things like the Colosseum and everything else, I know they're open. And if the tourists that I've seen here, and even on Sundays when I go to the center of Rome, because that's where my parish is, St. Patrick's. So even on Sundays, I still see lots of people at Piazza Venezia, other parts of Rome, and not so much in the early morning, but like when Mass gets out at 11:30, I'm coming back back home. So I've seen lots of tourists. I don't know about the numbers. I've had storekeepers And I mean, shop owners and restaurant people tell me they haven't seen as many Americans yet. But and the interesting thing is, Americans can come here. You know, you have to have your vaccination and things like that. Americans can come here, and if you are asked for a document, you must show them that you, you know, whatever you have that says you've been vaccinated. So that's fine. But the odd thing is, America is not very welcoming to people from Europe at all. So there have been a lot of complaints here. The European Union is looking at that. Apparently, I was talking to a whole bunch of people yesterday, and they said, no, Joan, you can't go unless it is essential business. So if you don't see a lot of Europeans flooding American tourist spots, that's why. We are not quite as receptive in America as they are here. But I am happy to say that that things are looking up. Restaurants, I want to tell you, La Victoria, it has been really, really crowded, the one we go to a lot. And any of the other restaurants that I've been to in the past few weeks, either alone or with friends, have had good numbers of people. Now, interestingly enough, I got vaccinated in Italy, and it took me quite some time, but I got what's called a green pass. And this is like mandatory for everything, anything involving a crowd. So any kind of a big event or a concert or going into a stadium or something. And they're gonna even for buses now in the fall, I'll not only have to show my bus pass, I'll have to show my green pass. And so I have the printed one, and then I have it on my phone. And then there's a QR code on that has all the information that, because like restaurants, as of August 6th, to eat inside a restaurant, you have to show your green pass. And but there has to be somebody in the restaurant with a gadget that can scan that. And so that you can't, they can't be duplicated, as I understand it. As much as some of these certificates in America. Anyway, so if you're an American, you're not going to have that. The green pass is Italian. But you'll have the equivalent that will show you've been vaccinated. And that's all that restaurants want. So,
All right. So I guess I can start planning my trip soon to Rome. we'll have to celebrate your 80th birthday a year and change later. That's all.
Yeah,
so listen, Joan, I read your
one as well.
I read your blog all the time during the week. And I saw your blog, I think it was yesterday. And there's this rumor, a journalist rumor, about Pope Francis going the way of Pope Benedict, resigning. Tell us about this whole rumor.
Well, the interesting thing is that this is a journalist, Maria Antonietta Calabro. She's been with the very, very respected, she's respected, but she's with the very respected Corriere della Sera newspaper. For 30 years, she's in the Rome office. And she's known to have very good contacts at the Vatican. So her piece came out. She actually, 2 days ago, 1 or 2 days ago, she tweeted a link to a piece she wrote that was in Italian for the Huffington Post about the Pope Francis resigning, and also the fact that he seems to be on the verge of, or either beginning or finishing, on a document on emeritus popes. We have no idea what this is about. Does he not like the title? If you remember how discussed it was when Benedict resigned, what do we call him? And if a person has left a post, they are emeritus. They could be a professor at a university, whatever their position. If they've left it and obviously honorably and so forth, then they would be CEO or president or whatever, emeritus. But nobody seemed to have a better idea of what to say with Pope Benedict, Pope Emeritus Benedict, and especially the fact that, of course, he did continue to wear white, though not identical to, in all of its pieces, if you will, to Pope Francis. So, you know, if this gal has real good contacts, I just have an awful lot of questions. Because with every pope at a certain period, and look, it was a little over a month ago, almost 2 months, that Pope Francis had colon surgery, you know, on July 4th. And the minute anybody, my heavens, look at John Paul, the minute anybody has any surgery, that is, a pope has surgery, that obviously huge questions come up. And especially his July 4th surgery, there seemed to be high-ranking people in the Vatican that did not even know about that. They learned about it the same way that we did, because he had appeared at the Angelus, this and that, and then all of a sudden, 3.5 hours later, the Vatican comes out with a statement that the Pope's in the hospital for surgery, and by the way, he's having it today. So, you know, an announcement like that makes it almost sounds urgent, but they did say it was scheduled surgery. So you look at a Pope differently. You look at anybody differently after they have serious surgery, and he'll be 85 in December. So you could say, is it health? What would be the reason for him resigning? Now, Joan has told people for years because if you remember early on in his pontificate, Francis spoke about having a very brief papacy. He never really defined it, but, you know, what was it? 2 years, 3 years, less than 10? What is brief for him? So he did talk about that. But it would come up time and again, but, you know, 2 years went by, 4, 6, and now we're in 8. In any event,
he's going to be 85. How old was Benedict when he stepped down? Do you remember?
He's 70, 88 or so. Yeah. Let's say he's 94 now. So
he was in his 80s already.
No, he was in his late 80s. Yeah, exactly.
He was in his 80s.
I just never told people. I didn't feel Francis would resign when these rumors would come up. I didn't feel that Francis would resign while there was already a Pope Emeritus. And in our history, if you look at it, I was asked this question today, as a matter of fact, have there ever been 2 Pope Emerituses? No, there haven't. But if you go back to Pope St. Celestine, he died. He was only Pope for 5 months of the entire Catholic Church and of the Roman, the Papal States. And he died in December 1294 after only a 5-month papacy. He resigned. He did not die. So his predecessor was successor was Boniface VIII. Anyway, you don't know too much about him or what he wore or what they called him. So there really, when Benedict resigned, there didn't seem to be any tradition to base it on. But I still feel, unless there's something in his life that we don't know about, I still feel that Francis would not resign while there is already a Pope Emeritus. But also look at his schedule, Janet. We've got, look at just his daily schedule. We see him now, he had the whole month of July to recover. That's usually the month he has like a working vacation. And then, you know, here we are just towards the end of August. But he has appeared for the Angelus. He's held the weekly general audience now in the Paul VI Hall. He's made a whole bunch of videos to groups around the world celebrating anniversaries or international days.
So, and John, he has some trips planned too, doesn't he?
Exactly, yeah. In September, he will be in Budapest. I don't even think it's overnight. He's going to fly to Budapest, celebrate the final mass of the International Eucharistic Congress. Then he's flying on to Slovakia for several days. So he's got that trip. But also, Janet, a thing, if you look at it, we've been looking at 7+ years now of this Pope's desire for a renewal of the Roman Curia. And he's had his cardinal advisors sit with him and help write this document. He's had years to do this. We've seen some names, some pontifical councils were joined together and they became a dicastery, et cetera.
Right.
So we've already seen some changes. But the document that will replace John Paul's 1988 Pastoral Bonus document, which was only about the regulation of the Curia, who's responsible for what? What are the different names of different offices? What is the extension of jurisdiction in offices? So that new document is in the hands of the world's bishops. We don't know the exact status as I speak today, the month of August, but it's been in the hands of the bishops of the world and of all the people here in Rome at the Roman Curia, and obviously the College of Cardinals, for their input on things. So I just can't imagine him resigning.
No, you know what? I distinctly remember how Benedict was right before he resigned, because I happened to be in Rome with Teresa Tamio. We were on a pilgrimage there. It was like after Christmas and before the Feast of the Three Kings. Matter of fact, I was there for the Feast of the Three Kings, that beautiful celebration in Rome, in St. Peter's Square. But we had an audience with Pope Benedict in Paul VI Auditorium. And because we were a pilgrim group, we were kind of like down close. I got a good look at him up on the stage. And I remember distinctly, I whispered to Teresa, I said, oh, the Pope, he doesn't look very well. And the Monsignor or the bishop that was with him literally helped him, held his arm on like this and helped him across the stage to sit. And he sat for the whole audience, and they sat him down, and he spoke to us. And then when it was over, again, they came over and kind of helped him up and let him walk off. And I said, boy, he looks so frail. And it was maybe 6 weeks later, he announced his resignation. Well, very frail, you know?
Because he was 88 or 86, whatever he was. We'll get that in a minute. But the thing is, he had been having for about a year a problem walking. And I remember being at Fox News the night that Benedict resigned. And Shep Smith asked me, he said, Joan, what's the real reason behind Benedict's resignation? Because everybody wanted to say he was just, you know, up to here with all the abuse scandal and everything else. And I said, Shep, if you all in America media watch the Pope like we do here in Rome, the Vaticanisti, if you watched him on a daily basis, you could see just in the last year alone how he's gone from practically striding on a stage to walking slower, walking with a cane. And then if you remember, in fact, some of his last masses before he actually did resign, some of his last masses, there was that mobile unit that brought him up to the altar, because it's 100 yards. It's the length of a football stadium from the entrance of the Basilica to the papal altar. So it was a question of his walking. And of course, now he has a walker. He has a wheeled chair, I guess. The mind is like, you know, gangbusters, fine. And, but he just, at 94, who at 94 is, you know, running through hoops and stuff like that.
That's so, right.
But basically,
well, that's what I'm saying. I said the difference I see right now is there were clear physical signs that he was failing. And I think, to be honest, Joan, this was in February. If everybody remembers, it was just after Ash Wednesday. And I think knowing in his mind what is required of a pope to deal with Holy Week and all that stuff, he said to himself, I can't do this. No way.
He felt that he could, and he said this in his resignation speech in Latin. He said he just could not serve the church like she had to be served. He knew he'd be unable to travel. He wanted to see the world. Yes, the world can come to Rome, but you still need the papal trips. And if every single mass you were going to have the faithful there, not even participating in mass because they were thinking about and praying for the Holy Father. Oh my gosh, she can't walk, you know. So he just knew he couldn't be a pope. A pope is not locked up in an ivory tower. And so he just felt he could not be what he had to be as pope for the church. And so
I guess Joan, we'll have to, as they say, wait and see. But I don't know. It's kind of a strange rumor. And like you said, the confusion of having two pope emeritus is plural. I don't know. So I guess
you know, how would the reigning pope? I mean, maybe I just want to think that if Francis is writing something like this, that he's getting a little input. He is a man who's known to be his own thinker, his own, decider, etc.
Right.
But I'd really like to think that he would get, you know, not chain the entire church to a document which right. says, by the way, no more Pope emerituses, and we'll be simple priests, and we have to wear black. So just the importance of a document like that, I would like to think that there would be input from a whole bunch of people, you know. And
I think the College of Cardinals would kind of have to all weigh in a little bit.
I would think so. And but now that's something that Francis has done only one in 8 years. All of his predecessors did it a lot. And that is to say, he only once has called the entire College of Cardinals together. And you know, we think of the people 70-some that he has named as cardinals in his time. There's 122 voting cardinals as we speak who have the right to vote because they're under the age of 80. But the cardinals that he's named, they have no idea who each other is. You can go online. You can watch how a cardinal gives a speech, a homily, or but you can't get to know somebody. You and I know that. Just you come to Rome for meetings. Yeah. It's a whole different thing in person.
And well, a college, very different.
You meet each other. You're going to have coffee together. You're going to have dinner together. You might be staying in the Santa Marta residence. You know, you really get to know a person. You may discover what they think about theology and liturgy, and you may discover you have the same football team that you're rooting for.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's
you know, I guess, you know, at least for the past year and a half almost, I think COVID has stopped, you know, the Pope from calling a College of Cardinals together, but we shall see what will happen. But you know what, Joan? Most of our people don't realize that the Vatican has its own media. They have Vatican Radio, and they have this newspaper, Osservatore Romano. Could you just tell us a little bit about that? And I know the Pope went and visited recently, right? So give us a little snapshot about that.
He did. Well, interestingly enough, another one of the rumors, and you know, about it, it hasn't gone as viral as the almost viral as the resignation thing is. First of all, a lot of people are still on vacation. This is August. You can only understand August in Italy if you're actually here to see things close down, to see buses with half the number of passengers, to see stores and you know, pharmacies will close down. Anyway, so a lot of people are still away. Maybe some of them are journalists, in particular Vaticanisti, but so they'll probably pick up on some of these stories. But a couple months ago, the Pope did go to Vatican Radio. And apparently, these were not remarks that were committed to radio, but apparently in his talk with people, and somebody wrote this down someplace, that the Holy Father said, I'm paraphrasing, okay? He said the equivalent of, understand you don't really have that many listeners. And he was talking about Osservatore Romano, nicely pronounced by you, and he said, you know, when it's my understanding, Osservatore doesn't have that many readers. So everybody was kind of flabbergasted. But I mean, I can tell you how many languages they have at Vatican Radio. I can tell you how many employees they have. I can't tell you how many people all around the world listen to them. Because you can listen on radio, you can listen digitally. Just, you know, go to your iPad or computer now and you can find Vatican Media. Anyway. The paper version has been around since 1861. And there is a slight, so far, rumor, and I've tried to contact some people, obviously, at the paper, some friends, that the printed version is about to end up on the chopping block. Now, I do know that as of July 1st, I get the daily edition in Italian of L'Osservatore Romano digital. And then on Fridays, I get the weekly English version because it comes out in 8 or 9 languages weekly. So now I have to pay for those. And it's a very insignificant sum for a year. It's 20 euro. I guess that's $24, $25. But the thing is, it was always free up till now. There's cost to print the paper. There's obviously the cost of the staff. But so now, as of July 1st, if you if you got it in your email every single day, I've subscribed, so of course I still get it in my email, but you have to click on, you know, a special spot for subscribers. And the interesting thing is that the printed edition is $450 a year. This is daily, you know. €450, so that'd be about $500. And then you can also buy it, you know, by semester, by 6 months. So that's a lot of money for a printed edition here. That's in Italy. And then if you in America wanted a print edition, you have to click on a certain little thing on their page to say, I live in New York. How much, will it cost to get to New York? So if the costs are that major, some people may reconsider. I think a cardinal.
Well, I think it's a good thing for people to realize that here in America, when they want to know what's going on in the Vatican, they could listen to Vatican Radio. Like you said, it's digital, it's on the internet, and they could subscribe to Observatory Romano and get the weekly English version, yeah, because then they really get to peek inside to, yes, know what's going on inside the Vatican with the Holy Father and the old. You know, I think what people forget is they are so focused on the St. Peter's Square and St. Peter's Church. They don't realize behind the church, there's a whole city. Yeah. There's a city. There's the bank. There's the post office. There's offices. You know, people live there, you know, because it's Vatican State, you know, and the Pope, he's like the president of that whole state of the Vatican.
Yeah, yeah, if you will.
Yeah. So, you know, people, I want to invite you, if you currently have never checked out Observatory Romano, Google it. It's a perfect opportunity if you want to learn more what's going on in Rome. You don't have to just wait to hearing the rumors. You can have a peek inside the Vatican, right?
The Italian version has an awful lot of culture in it, too, it's not just church. Obviously, everything that the Pope does or says or writes in it would be, you know, in that daily edition. But for example, the last few days, I was almost in tears a couple hours ago reading today's edition of L'Osservatore and its concentration on what's happening in Afghanistan. And they had two pictures, one showing a father handing, I think we've all seen this on TV, showing a father handing his baby to a soldier above the barbed wire. And then the picture next to that showed a soldier with a different baby, just a wonderful American soldier, just cradling this little creature in his arms. And it just, you know, and the Vatican Observatory, I wish I had the time to translate it, but their front page article spoke of the similarity between mothers and fathers handing over a child whom they love, adore, but probably will never see again, but they believe he will live and have a better life. The Observatory compared it to Moses, whose mother and his sister Miriam, his mother, in order for him to live in the current circumstances, she puts him in a basket on the Nile River, not even knowing where it's going to end up. And of course, he did end up in the court of the Pharaoh. But, a different tale could have been told. None of us... Maybe someday some American person, you know, a member of the military who knows the story will let us know what happened to one or two, three children brought up over the barbed wire fence, you know.
But, well, Joan, I just want to encourage everyone, because besides Observatory Romano, if they really want to know, Joan knows what's going on in Rome, tell them how to sign up to get your blog.
Well, right now you can go to jonesrome.wordpress.com and you'll access today's blog. And then on the right-hand side there, kind of in a purplish lavender print, it allows you to sign up for my blog. It allows you to email me. So a good way to be in touch. Yeah. And then, of course, I repost my blog every day on my Facebook page and on my Twitter account.
We can go to your social media and be a fan and also follow you on Twitter. So, Joan, I want to wish you a beautiful vacation, well-deserved rest. And when you get back in Rome, send me an email and we'll get you back on, because then you can tell us all about what you saw here in America while you were traveling around. Okay?
Exactly. Exactly. We'll be delighted to do so. And I will pick up people. I'll probably be on Facebook or Twitter posting a few things, but not, you know, an 8-9 hour workday.
Okay. Well, God bless you, Joan. And I'm hoping maybe by the spring I'll get to Rome. That's my goal. Okay.
We're all working on that. Yeah.
Okay. God bless. Thanks for joining me. Well, thank you too, brothers and sisters, for joining me on Just Ask Janet today. And of course, whether you're in Rome or wherever you are, let us know. We'd like to know who is tuning in. Until next time, this is Janet Moretta, Executive Director of Priest for Life. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.